Let's turn in our insert to hymn number 27, I Sing the Mighty Power of God, and let's stand as we sing. Be seated.
We have a church memory verse. It's on the back of your bulletin there. It is Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Let's say that together with a reference before and after. Together. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 84:11. Well, as Steve Lewis said in Sunday school this morning, we assume that Pastor Howard made it safely. But I did get a note from him yesterday to tell me that a lady had called to say that they were, well, I guess that they were going to be here today. So we do know that he's here, and it's good to have Mrs. Mahaffey and her daughter here with us this morning. You want to get to know them. And surprisingly, there's another young lady here, my daughter, my oldest daughter, Laura June. It's good to have you here today, Laura June. So it's good to have you here. We invite you to come back for the evening service tonight. So services are a very important time, and I just encourage you, if at all possible, to come and to be here with us tonight for our evening service and our prayer service on Wednesday night. You know, that I've often said that that may be one of the most important services of our church as we come and humbly bring our requests before God, and to uphold our congregation, to uphold our country as we spend the majority of our time in prayer in that service. Encourage you for that. So look over there in the bulletin, those that have birthdays and anniversaries. Next week, Pastor Flesher, who is a chaplain and also was the pastor of Greencastle Bible Church for many years, he'll be here and speaking next Sunday morning. So we're looking forward to that. And also with the things with the Knox County Fair that's coming up and the preparing for those making up those packs, would encourage you with for that as you read that there here in bulletin, and are getting together on Friday evening the 24th at 5 o'clock to put together those packets that we're going to be giving out at the fair, Pastor Howard has recruited some with an ice cream machine and having a bonfire and a cookout there as well. And so I just encourage you with those things. Also, even though we did not have our regular youth camps this year at Penile, there was this last Saturday a junior camp, a day camp. There's going to be the teens. That is for this next Saturday. And so encourage you that there's a registration for that. Encourage you that any of our teens here that are able to go for that one-day event at camp. We had a work crew from church in South Carolina that came up on a mission group this last week, and they got the new siding on the rec hall there, as well as around the store and the store. I say kitchen. That shows my age. many years ago, that was a kitchen, but the new windows there, and that's sided. It really looks very nice. What a blessing it is when we have those that want to give of their time into some way to serve the Lord. That the camp is not necessarily a ministry that many of them are able to enjoy, but Mark Goldfuss, who is the brother of Mike Goldfuss that we had supported as a missionary for some time, he's in that church, and he's a builder, and he brings up he gets a crew to come up and work. And what a blessing it is when we do that. It's always good. It's good to work together in various aspects of the Lord's work, whether it's cleaning the church and doing things. Speaking of that, there's an area that needs to be signed up for church cleaning. But just encourage you in that. I think that's the announcements, I guess. When we go to prayer earlier, just encourage you to be in prayer for our country, be in prayer for our people, and I take it that Jim is scheduled this week for his surgery there for the kidney stone, and that he would appreciate our prayers as we pray for Jim Eckert there. So let's we'll have our next hymn. Thank you.
Take your insert and turn to hymn 164, Breathe on Me, Breath of God, 164.
Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Let's stand together and honor the Lord's word. Read this, we'll read it. Read it responsibly. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope.
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God return.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Wherefore, comfort one another.
May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word. You may be seated. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, indeed, what a blessing it is for us to be gathered here on this Lord's Day. Lord, to have your word that is truth in a day, Lord, when we look around and wonder what is truth. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the spiritual blessings that you have so greatly blessed us with. And, oh, Lord, we thank you for your word that defines that for us. Even as those who were in the adult Sunday school class this morning, Lord, as we heard and spoke of the marvels of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Oh, Lord, as we live in days of trouble around us, we live in a country that we're seeing a lot of division and hatred and violence. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the peace that you give in the heart of the believer. We thank you, Lord, for the direction that you give us in your word. And we pray that you might help us to follow in that direction. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for Pastor Howard and his family that you have given here to us, to minister here to our church family. We pray for them, Lord, as they're out at Jenny's folks in Kansas. We pray, Lord, to give them a refreshment, even as they are away. They told us that it was supposed to be very hot out there. We just ask you, Lord, to minister to them and make this a refreshing time for them. Heavenly Father, as we think of those in our assembly that are sick, and those that have things coming up, I think of Jim Eckert, Lord, with this surgery where he's had this pain for some time. How we pray, Lord, for your sustaining him, Lord, watching over him for his protection, and Lord, for a good result of this surgery. Lord, we think of a number of our folks that because of the spread of this virus, that they've not been out. But Lord, a number that are even today will be listening to our service and the message from your word. We pray, Lord, that you might be with them. We pray that you might encourage them in their own hearts. And then, Lord, how we pray that you might help us as a church family to see and to seek out, Lord, that we might just be able to encourage and keep that that oneness of spirit and oneness, Lord, in our fellowship together with you. As we need one another, we need that encouragement. We need that that you have given to us as a body of believers. And so we pray for this assembly, and we pray, Lord, for your guidance and direction in it. We pray, Lord, that you might help each of us as we go out into our communities. Heavenly Father, that we might, in these days of turmoil, yet, Lord, that we might be a good ambassador, a good witness for our Lord Jesus Christ, and that you would give us each one opportunities to tell others of the blessing of Christ and to share with them, Lord, the blessing of eternal salvation in Christ. And then, Lord, as it would please you, we would pray that you might bring in those with a hungry soul, Lord, that they might come and sit under your word and be under the preaching of your word, and that you might minister to their hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the missionaries that you have given us that we're able to support. We know that many of them have had it's been a trying time for them and seeking different ways of ministry in the midst of many things that are shut down. And we thank you, Lord, for them and pray for them and ask you, Lord, to give them special guidance and direction. And we thank you, Lord, that we're able to support them. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that even as your people today bring their tithes and offerings, and we pray, Lord, for your blessing upon those tithes. And we ask you, Lord, to help us, Lord, to sustain that, Lord, with what you've given. We thank you for the provision that you have been making for this assembly. Now, Lord, we commit this service to you and each heart that is here today, that you might minister to each one by your Spirit according as your will is. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Please take your bulletin insert and turn to hymn number 380, Rise Up, O Men of God, and let's stand as we sing.
Since nobody's moving, there is no special music this morning. I don't think, okay. I could call on somebody. Would you like to come sing for them? No. Okay. Okay. You know, on many times we're asked and even sometimes the Sunday school hour, if you have a spiritual birthday, we sing happy birthday to people, we sing a happy anniversary, and also for spiritual birthdays. I haven't given one of those because I don't know the date. I don't even know the time of year. But I do remember very specifically a point in time. This morning, different than most any message, I guess, that I've given in the past, I'd like to share with you my personal testimony of the power of God, the power of God and His grace, not only in the spiritual birth, but in the results of the new life. Spiritual birthdays are life-changing events. And as each of those of you who have been born again by the Spirit of God, you know the change that it made in your life. And I've always enjoyed and appreciated hearing your testimony of how God worked in your life and how you came to put that trust in Christ. And today, as I give that testimony, I just encourage you to, as we go through, and you'll be challenged to examine your faith. It's one of those things that we certainly want to be sure of and to know. I look back and I see God bringing a child to Himself. God bringing a child to Himself. I was a lost soul, though a child. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. I was condemned. John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Those of you that have had children, and if you can remember back to the days of your childhood, you know that there was that heart of rebellion, back when you were a very little one. Since my oldest daughter's here, I could talk about her, as a very, very tiny little one, not even able to crawl. But there was there was something in there where she showed that it wasn't, they look so innocent. We look so innocent when we're children. But God knows, and we come to understand and know in our own heart our condemnation. I had, back in those days, I had parents with a conviction and an insight. They attended the family Methodist Church in Paris, Ohio. When I tell you I was born in Paris, that's not some exotic place. It's a tiny little place without a traffic light. There in Paris, Ohio, we attended the Methodist Church. But there were things that were troubling there to my parents. My father was put on the, I think I heard it was put on the treasury. He never got any report about where the money went that they sent off to the conference, and that kind of troubled them. They didn't know where their money went. But there were things in the messages that just weren't right. And the last straw came on a Sunday. One Sunday when the pastor questioned whether there was a literal heaven or a literal hell. That Sunday, they, after conversation with the pastor after the service and recognition that there was unbelief, they left there because of the unbelief in the scriptures. My father, even though he had a position in the church, he was unsaved at that time. But he made the statement, if we're going to go to church, we're going to go where they teach the Bible, where they believe the Bible. They withdrew their membership, which was very hard on my grandmother. That was the family church. And you just don't leave the family church. My parents realized the importance of the scripture, and it had to be believed. So they had heard, and I never knew, I don't remember the all of the details of how it came about. I was very, very young at that time. They had heard of others that had left their denominational churches because of the unbelief that they were seeing. And that was a time when liberalism, unbelief was in some of the denominational seminaries, and it was coming into into the local churches. And so they heard of this new church, this was a Bible Presbyterian church that was being formed, which was kind of an independent, but it was not a part of that. It was a church that believed the fundamentals of the faith and in the verbal inerrancy of the scriptures, that we can depend and trust in the scriptures. And there was a pastor that came, and he taught systematically through the scriptures. God's word has power. God's word has power. And we went Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday night, and God's word was taught. And that had an impact upon my heart. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Romans 10:14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." On a Sunday night, on the way home in the car after a Bible message, God brought conviction to my heart. And how I thank God that my parents saw that I was constantly under the preaching of God's word. Though I was very young, probably the best I can figure out, around 5 years old, God used his word to convict my heart of a lost condition and to reveal to me the love of Christ, his sacrifice and of his blood and his gift of eternal life that he offered. That night, in the back seat of our car, I think it was a 1940 Nash. We had Nash cars, and right about that time, I remember that we got a 1948 Nash. That they were both used cars, but I think it was a 1940 Nash that, on the way home from church, and I can picture the place in the road. I can picture coming down around the place to our home on Paris Avenue, south of Paris. My wife mentions the old car that she remembers being trying to see out because the windows were high in it. And I think that old Nash was like that too. But there I gave my life to the Lord. I asked him to come into my life and save me. I knew I'd sinned. I knew Jesus had died for me. A lot of things I didn't know about the Lord. But but I knew that much. And that's where that transaction took place. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Later on, I learned, and even as Steve mentioned this morning, our adoption. We become the sons of God, become adopted into his family. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know, through grade school and high school, I don't remember doubting my salvation in those years. But you know, God grants assurance. He will grant assurance of our salvation. When I got to college, went to John Brown University in Siloam Springs, Arkansas, I was 1,000 miles from home. And back then, you know, I couldn't even, and we didn't have all these things you have today where you communicate back and forth and FaceTime and all the stuff that we have. I couldn't afford to put the quarters in the payphone, how many quarters all we had to keep putting in to call home. But it was a crisis time in my life. I felt very much alone at that particular time in the crisis in my life. And I started asking, am I really in the faith? What does it mean to believe? What does it mean to receive Christ? It's important for us to come to really make an examination. I was raised in a Christian home with the Bible, and I always had others giving me assurance, but you know, we need assurance for ourselves. Was it real? Was it real? What does the scripture teeth about faith and commitment to Christ? Our Bibles in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Hebrews, a book that was written to Christians, and yet a book that a number of times gives warning. Make sure you're in the faith. Hebrews 4:1 says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise of being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Those are passages that make us stop and think. I don't want to come short of it. I don't want to be a reprobate. I don't want to be one of those that's heard and been under the preaching of God's word, and maybe my faith, maybe it wasn't what the Lord asks of me. Uh, And so I really come to question, am I in the faith? What is required of me? You know, John 20:31, the Lord wants to give us assurance. He says, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. It really caused me to get out my Bible and look up the words believe, trust, receive. What's involved in that? And as I studied through it, and as I realized I truly had believed. It wasn't just a head knowledge. You know, it's easy for us to say words. And somebody can say to us, well, if you just pray this prayer, you just pray these words, you'll be saved. And I've known children that thought that they were saved just because they said words. It wasn't something that came from their heart. It wasn't something where there was a true trusting belief. But as I examined that, I recognized that belief was a trusting belief. And I had trusted in my own heart, that I had truly received. I had fully given myself to receive the Lord. Doesn't mean just say words. It means that you've really given yourself over to the Lord. That's one of the reasons that I often told my own children, and I would ask them, what are you trusting in? Are you really trusting in Christ? Or are you trusting in because you said words back sometime? And it's very important. And in fact, I think we've shared with you a Deborah who we now support them as missionaries in the field. But there were a number of times as a child that she said the words, and she could tell other people how to be saved. But it wasn't until her first year of, actually her second year of Bible school, that she called home and said, Dad, I just got saved. Because there, when she was away at school, she evidently did that same kind of introspection. Was it really real? For her, Dad, I wasn't saved back then. I didn't really, from my heart, trust Christ. And that's why these scriptures are so important, that you examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith. None of us want to be reprobate, or none of us want to come short and find that we don't have salvation. That would be awful, thinking we do and don't. So we need to examine ourselves, examine that faith. And as I examined myself, I realized my faith rested in Christ, that I had continued and was presently trusting in Christ. And that was all that's all the Lord asked of me. He didn't ask me to do some great things. And though I had come as a child, it was a genuine faith that endures. And I come with that conviction that the Lord gives, as the Lord grants assurance, I was saved. Isn't that a blessed thing to know you're saved? To know you're in Christ? And to know, as in John 6:37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. What a blessing. What a blessing. When we know we're in him, when we are presently, we know we're trusting in Christ. I've given my heart to him. He's adopted me. He's made me a son. I've received him, and He gives me the power to become a child of his. He adopts me into his family. What a blessing to know we're saved. You know, the Lord has more for us. The Lord desires our growth. And so, besides that salvation, besides the assurance of my salvation, God gives provision for growth. Now, for each of you, that would be different in some ways. I had a godly mother. I had a mother that when there was any kind of a need in the family, or even when there wasn't a particular need, but I remember particular times when there was financial need, when there were particular things going on, that I can still see that good Thompson Chain reference Bible on my mother's lap, and she would say, "Let's look at God's word. Let's look at God's word." And the prayers and let's go to the Lord in prayer and I had a godly mother that would lead me in prayer and seeing her prayers for her children and you know that was something I had with mother till the day of her death when the last days of mother's life, when she was bedfast and she knew her time was gone, she called each of us in and individually and prayed for us. What a blessing it is to have a godly mother. Some of you, maybe you didn't have that opportunity, but God gives provision for your growth. But I had, you know, my father. I remember that my father's new faith. I don't remember the occasion that when my father truly came to Christ. I was talking to my sister yesterday, my older sister, Ardina, and she says she's got a much better memory than I do. I don't know how she can be older and have a better memory, but she remembers things that I don't remember. But she says that it was during a special meetings when there was a Professor Dr. Dunsweiler was there, and that Dad really wanted to make sure of his salvation and prayed. But what I remember about Dad, you know, we'd go to church and Dad would be standing there. He never sung a word out of his mouth. He stood there. Dad was a very quiet man, and he really didn't like to be with a bunch of people. I mean, he really got nervous around people. But Dad, I remember, and it was after that he had been saved. Remember the first Sunday, I'm standing beside him, and we're singing, and I heard the first music comes out of his mouth. You know, to a young boy wants to hear his dad sing. You know, I'm sure it was off tune. I'm sure somebody else would have thought, what is that noise? But to me, it was the most beautiful thing just to hear my dad sing. Dad went on. He served the Lord in the church. Later years, became an elder in the church. In the latter days, I remember Dad really becoming a prayer warrior. Really prayed for us like Mom did. I mean, that wasn't Dad earlier days, but that was something that God gave me in my spiritual growth was having that. But then, and there was my parents' priorities. The church services. We were there at every service. Now, talking to my sister yesterday, I remembered that Mom said it to me, but she says it was to my brother, my older brother. But one of us, anyway, I had this written down. Now I got to change my message. but there was a Sunday that my dad said, and I don't remember in time sequence, it was when we were younger, my dad said, I'm not going this Sunday. And one of us, my brother or I, said, well, I'm not going. You know, we follow our dad. He said, I'm not going. And my dad said, let's go. We're going to church. My mom said she felt that was a turning point in our lives because dad made that decision. We're going. He saw what that effect was on his son. When he said, I'm not going, he realized that's going to have an effect on my child. And the mother said she felt like that was a turning point. And that may well have been a turning point in his life, where he was under the word and he finally came to himself, to trusting in Christ. There was never a question of whether we were going to go. If visitors came to our house, and we would have sometimes some relative came just as you're getting ready to go to church Sunday night. My folks would say, if it was somebody that you'd let in your house, they'd say, well, you can come on in, but we'll be back. We'll be back at such and such a time. Or if somebody else, you can come back later, but we're going to church. Because they made it a priority. It was a priority in their lives. And the only exceptions were when somebody was sick or, the scripture, if the ox was in the pit, my dad was a plumbing electrician. We did pump work. And if you got a farmer that calls up Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon and says, I got no water. He's got a dairy farm. I got no electric. I'm out of electric. I need help. If it was something that could be put off till at least till after until after the service. But those were the times when I could remember that my folks weren't there and we weren't there in church. It was a priority. It put us under the constant preaching of the word. Their priorities, they taught us that first dollar that you earn, 10% of that belongs to God. That was something they made sure that if we got an allowance, if we got paid for something, that at least 10% of that went to the Lord. That was a priority. Because it belongs to the Lord, and that was a part of the spiritual growth that God gave. As soon as we were old enough and could be members, they wanted us to be a member of the church, to be a part, participate, commit yourself. It's like our lives belong, first of all, to God. The Lord's Day. They saw to it that this is a day that belongs to the Lord, and we prepare for it on Saturday night so that you're able to be up and go on Sunday morning. I remember back then there were a number of good radio Christian programs, and Sunday morning, I always heard the hymns being played and sung before we ever went to church on the radio. And we dressed for Sunday. We made sure that we dressed well for Sunday. But my mom was always very, very pointed, you're not dressing for show. In fact, because a lot of people had to show off their new clothes on Easter, mom would make sure that you didn't wear those on Easter, because you're not showing, but it's not for show, it's just, but it's for, it's for the Lord. We give our best to the Lord. We made rest in the afternoons, no Sunday purchases. This was the Lord's Day. That was a part of the spiritual growth that we had. But then, you know, the Bible talks about the need for our living for the Lord, to exercise our spiritual life. And 1 Timothy 4:7, "But refuse profane and vain wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little." That's not saying you don't you can't, but it says it's not near as important as that spiritual exercise. "But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is and that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that live." We're to exercise ourselves unto godliness. Our lives are to be filled. And that was one of the things that in that spiritual growth that was an emphasizing is be involved in the Lord's work. Serve the Lord. Exercise yourself unto godliness. Because, we belong to the Lord. It's important, very important passage is that one in 1 Corinthians 6:19. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" That was always strongly impressed that my body's not my own. It's God's. What do we do with our bodies? We belong to God. I had that, we sing that song, "I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll do what you want me to do." We need to do what we can, what we believe the Lord would have us to do. And those years in high school and there were high school Bible clubs inviting the high schoolers to come out to our Bible club. There was the youth group and working and laboring in those. But those were part of those years of spiritual growth that God provided and the encouragement that I had in doing that. "And I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord." Being willing to put aside our own priorities for the Lord. For me, I was so happy to get out of high school. Last thing I wanted. I did not want another day of school. I hate to say that, kids, but that's the way it was. But God put on my heart that I needed a little more Bible training, even though I had been in a Bible-believing church. And as I looked at my own, what I understood, how short I was. And also, I wanted to get some vocational training to be of better help in the business. I was going to go into business with my dad. The reason I chose John Brown was because that was one of the few schools that I knew of in the country that provided both electrical training as well as Bible training. There was that in Laterno in Texas, the only two that I knew of at the time that provided those. And so that's why I went there. But it was in college that God then impressed upon me the need for full-time Christian service. For those of you who said that you didn't want to go on to school, I paid for it. Part of my crisis time, my first year of college, was I was about to flunk out because I had not put myself forth in school. And I got to college, and that was a different life. And I didn't think I was going to make it. Only by God's grace did I get through that first year. And that was part of the testing of my faith at that time. I certainly didn't expect to go into the pastorate, but into some type of a helps ministry. I thought, in fact, I talked, went to various mission agencies and such where I could go in a help ministry with the electrical and plumbing experience that I'd had, and I knew that God did not want me to be a preacher. Now, how would I know that? Because I had a terrible stuttering problem, and God is not going to call me to preach if I can't talk. I mean, that's pretty obvious, right? Wrong. that we think is so, and you know, that's where sometimes you're called on to do something and you think, well, I can't do that. You know, we have to come to trust that God will provide where He leads. And that was where He led me to that first, I was going to go 1 year to college. That was it. and then 5, 6, 7, 8 years later, I left seminary in Philadelphia. But it took me 5 years to get through college, and then 3 more years of seminary. But you know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:27? God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. God takes those things that we think, well, I can't do that. There isn't any way that would work. But God provides where He leads. And I'm sure that my speech still isn't what some have speech that can do, but God basically took away the problems that I had, that I said I couldn't do that. But I had a willing heart. God had impressed upon me through those years of spiritual growth that He wanted me in some type of full-time service. So there's the God provides for growth. And each of you, there's different opportunities than what He had for me. I don't know, you know, maybe your home background isn't the same as mine. But God provides, and God gives us the local church. He gives us this place where we can come together and learn, and how I thank God that God kept me under the preaching of His Word. You know how much you miss when you miss the messages that God lays upon your pastor? I think of Pastor Howard. I think of him laboring in the Word and laboring in the Word to have a message that God would have to give to His people. And then the people aren't there to preach to. You know, I mean, it's so important that you know, I think of times, and surely you think, well, you, Pastor, you would never have been that way, but I can think of times when I didn't want to go to, and this was before I was preaching, but I thought about, I'm not going to go tonight. And then because of my training at home, I went. And then God had for me what I would have missed that night. And that meant so many times God impressed upon me, I needed that message. God has given to us. He provides for us for our spiritual growth. And how important it is, as the Bible says, line upon line, precept upon precept. We need that in our lives, our spiritual lives. And that doesn't take away what we need to be doing at home in our own Bible study and our own looking into God's Word and seeking His face. Those are important times. But one other thing that, and the blessing that God provides, is God's eternal hope. God's eternal hope. You know, I'm looking forward to that prepared place. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. God has a place prepared for me. God has a place prepared for you. And what a blessing it is that we know that He wants us to go to be with Him. We have that eternal hope. And then the passage that we read this morning, I'm looking forward to the rapture of the believer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, or chapter 4, verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We know that at that time there were those that had died, and they were expecting the Lord's coming, and some had died. But he goes on and says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The rapture of the church. You know, some people will tell you the word rapture is not in the Bible. No, in our King James Version, the word rapture is not in the Bible. But in the Latin translation from the Greek, in the Latin, the word caught up is the word rapture. It's a Latin word. Yes, when it says we're caught up, that's the rapture. That's we are caught up. The Latin word rapture. We are caught up with the Lord in the air. I'm looking forward to the rapture of the church. My cousin, Jonathan, passed away a couple weeks ago. In fact, another cousin, Bev's cousin, passed away with cancer. And there's a funeral in a couple weeks. Or a memorial service for him. They're both ones that knew Christ and trusted Christ. They're going to be caught up first. They're going to be raised first. And then I'm going to be caught up with them and with the Lord in the air. I'm looking forward to the rapture of the church. The last verse there in 1 Thessalonians 4 is, in the 17th verse is, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm looking forward to an eternity with Jesus Christ. What a hope that we have. It's not a hope that's based upon, well, I hope something's going to happen. But it's a confidence that we have in the Word of God, that what God says is true. And that's why I wanted to make sure that I don't come short of it, but I truly am trusting in Christ. What does God require? He requires just that I believe him and I commit myself to him in faith in his finished work. All he wants is my faith. What a blessing. And he gives me eternal life. What a blessing it is to stand before you this morning and tell you, according to the word of God, not according to myself, not according to anything that I have done, but according to the working of my God and the power and the grace of God, just because I've trusted in him. No works involved, just trusting in him. He's given me that blessed hope. I look forward to the place he's prepared. I look forward to being caught up with him in the air, and I look forward to living with him forever in all that he has prepared for them that love him. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your power and for your grace and for that which you have given us assurance through your precious word. And Lord, this morning, as I have given my own personal testimony, I pray, Lord, that you might cause through the scriptures and what we have discussed today, Lord, that each one here can rejoice, even as I rejoice in my salvation today, that they too may rejoice in the confidence that they have through God's word. And Lord, if there's a child, a young person, a mom and dad, or a grandparent, Lord, that has any doubt today, may they make sure of their eternal salvation so they don't come short and they're not called a reprobate, though they've heard the word, but they've not trusted. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for the blessed gift of Jesus Christ and for the adoption of sons. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your